Turning now to God's Word for this evening, we want to turn to the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 5. We want to read that section, verses 33 through 37, with a text coming from verse 37, and this is in conjunction with Lord's Day 37. Matthew 5, start reading at verse 33. Again, you have heard that it was said to the people long ago, "Do not break your oath, but keep your oaths you have made to the Lord." But I tell you, do not swear at all, either by heaven, for it is God's throne, or by the earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great King. And do not swear by your head, for you cannot make one hair white or black. Simply let your yes be yes, and your no, no. Anything beyond this comes from the evil one. Would you turn with me to Lord's Day 37, found on the back of our Psalter hymnals, page 51. Two short questions and answers there. All, of course, in conjunction with the third commandment. 101, but may we swear an oath in God's name if we do it reverently? May we swear by saints or other creatures? It is amazing in this modern world what electronic gadgetry comes out on the market more and more year after year, it seems. I was thinking as Brother Fred was showing that little electronic listening device, how many businessmen in the congregation might love to have that kind of thing when they're having a customer promise them on the phone the check is in the mail. But listening devices are nice when they're working in your favor. About 12 years ago, a new listening device became available first of all to the law enforcement, CIA, FBI, detective agents, and that like. It was a gun of a sort. A gun of a sort with a listening device at the tail end, super sensitive, magnifying device. And that gun was so powerful that they could point it at a house 200, 300 feet away and through brick, through mortar, through wall, pick up conversation that was being held in the privacy of that house and perfectly recorded by the agents listening. Wouldn't it be neat to have one of those guns? You could listen into your neighbor's house and hear what takes place in the conversations. Why, you could hear if they're having a fight. Or you could hear if they're having a common conversation. Or if you had one of those listening devices, you could even hear if they're whispering. Wouldn't it be a nice device to have? Wouldn't it be an awful device for somebody else to have? When they've got it pointed at your house? And if as technology has advanced in these last 12 years, and if as all this gadgetry only improves, and if someone recorded your voice that you have spoken in the course of one entire week, and if the other people in the church found out what you all said in the course of 1 week, from the shout to the whisper, would you even dare show up in church again?
I'm not sure I would want to.
But here in this passage of Scripture, the Lord is saying that in view of God listening all the time, 24/7, and in view of God seeing all the time, and in view of God never forgetting, He can forgive, but He cannot forget, because God never gets Alzheimer's. Therefore, the Lord says to you that for all that you do, He wants you to honor Him with your speech, and He wants you to honor Him with your vows. So those 2 points. Honor your Lord with your speech, and honor your Lord with your vows. So the Lord Jesus said in that passage, as this text, simply let your yes be yes and your no be no. Anything beyond that comes from the evil one. So what is this business about? Well, our Lord's Day talks about it. What is this business about swearing? Our Lord's Day gives you the definition for that. Answer 102. A legitimate oath means calling upon God as the one who knows my heart to witness to my truthfulness and to punish me if I swear falsely. A legitimate oath means calling upon God as the one who knows my heart to witness to my truthfulness and to punish me if I swear falsely. No wonder Jesus says, let your yes be yes, let your no be no, and don't use anything more than that. For you realize there's a Christian way of conduct, and there's a non-Christian way of conduct. There's a Christian code of ethics, and a non-Christian code of ethics. There's a non-Christian way of doing business, and there's a Christian way of doing business. There's a non-Christian way of speech, and there's a Christian way of speech. And the Lord knows that the non-Christians are going to do what they're going to do, they're going to say what they're going to say, and they're going to act the way they want to act. But the Lord says that you, if you're a Christian, He wants you to be distinctive in your action, distinctive in what you're doing, and distinctive in your speech. So Jesus says these words. In other words, let every word you say be absolutely clean and pure and holy. And if angels record those words in heaven, let every word you say be spoken in such a fashion that you will not be the least bit embarrassed when the books come open someday and that is revealed on the pages of your life. Because, Revelation 20, the books will come open. And as Jesus said, any secret whispered into the ear shall be proclaimed from the housetop and it will be known. But then what do you do about this problem? For the problem is all around you, right? It's all around. In fact, of all of the commandments, this is the only commandment that our Lord's Day takes 2 Lord's Days to deal with, because it was that pertinent and that powerful, but it was also that pervasive. In the ancient time of the Reformation, when the Heidelberg Catechism was written, this was a problem. Swearing. Cursing. But ancient Rome had the problem. Ancient Greece had the problem. Ancient Jews had the problem. For the Jews would swear by the temple, or they would swear by the God of the temple. They would swear by the altar, or the sacrifice on the altar. They would swear by the gold of the altar. They would swear by their head. They would swear by their head hair, whether it was black or white. And Jesus wipes all of that out of the picture and says, don't even do that at all. Now bringing you up to speed. Maybe it's the perspective that age brings into the picture, but it seems as though, as I recall in my memory, this is becoming a greater problem, not a lesser problem. Year 1970, right after, one week after exams, 1970, Joby and I got married. One short, student-style, poverty-stricken honeymoon. Embarrassing how poverty-stricken. One week later, through the father of my brother-in-law, I had a job for the summer in the steel mills of South Chicago, U.S. Steel. So I'm 1 year, 1 week married, and I have to show up for the steel mills. For those of you who know South Chicago, U.S. Steel had a mile stretch from 71st Street to 79th Street along the lake shore, a very dumpy section of town. In the steel mills that summer, I heard swear words I didn't know were in the language from some of those hard and toughened men who had spent years in the mills, from the crane operators who worked in those 100-ton electrical cranes up above as they roamed back and forth, as they shouted down their orders to those like grunts that were supposed to run back and forth and attend the crane and the swing of the boom. Two, some of the women that were carryovers from World War II and lived in that area of South Chicago, and I was amazed, my ears almost curled at times as I would hear some of those toughened women of the world outswearing the crane operators. At the end of the summer, went back to school and that job was over. Whew. Between college and seminary, north central Iowa. Back into the factory system for 2 years. But don't think everybody out in Iowa is a nice church-going saint. Heard some awful words there from guys and gals in the factory system, especially when things go wrong and the bosses are running around trying to straighten everything out. After those 2 years in Iowa, to Grand Rapids, trying to go to school by day, trying to work in the factories, night shift, 12 midnight to 7 in the morning. There again, I found out not everybody in Grand Rapids is a wonderful, glorious saint. And then you think through what has happened in the progression of the human language in the course of time since 1970 to now. Is it my imagination? Or are things getting more coarse, more gross, more blunt, more vivid? But it's all around. It's in the newspapers. It's in the books. It's in the magazines. It's on TV. It's in the movies. It's on the radio. It's everywhere. You can hear it in the factories. You can hear it in the gymnasiums. You can hear it at sports events. You can hear it. Well, you can even hear it out of the mouths of little children. Witness, summer 2008, Northern Ontario. Joby and I are sitting in our lawn chairs reading at the beach. That weather was so cold that summer. I think it was just as cold as this summer. And there's little boys playing in the water. And these boys are ranged age 6 to age 10. And every time these boys find some new discovery, a pollywog, tadpole, a snail, a clam, a minnow in the water, they're using profanity to tell the other boys how excited they are. Time marches on, isn't it? But God says, don't do it. Mind you, time has marched on as well. Back in the days when the top shows on TV were I Love Lucy and Ed Sullivan and Andy Griffith and the most adrenaline-pumping show on TV was Gunsmoke. Some of you can still remember. Then the big strong words, if a man really wanted to make a point and really wanted to get his anger known to the rest of the world, all the producers would allow him to say would be words like gosh or golly or by George. But now you're in a different world, and young people, I tremble for you. What you've got to face. And boys and girls, learn your Bible lessons well, because there is so much ahead of you. Only God knows what is ahead. Satan will use anything, any situation, any motive, any thing involved to try to get you to cross the line and say something that's unglorifying to your God. But Jesus says, simply let your yes be yes. Let your no be a no. Nothing more than that. Try not. If somebody at school accuses you of stealing their pen, make it simple. No. If you have to say it a second time, no. No. If somebody in a factory accuses you of stealing their worksheet or their tablet or their checkboard, you simply say, honestly, no, no. Nothing more than that. And if a police officer is standing in front of you and the police officer asks you a question, let your yes be a yes, let your no be a no. And if you have to say it twice, say it twice. Yes, yes. And the more you hold to your word, right, businessmen? Right, all of you who are in the workforce? Right, moms and dads? The more you hold to your word, and you let your yes be a yes, you let your no be a no, the more the rest of the world starts to realize that you are a person of your integrity, and your yes is just as good as an oath and better, or your no likewise. But the Lord today explains, in that question, something else comes into style here. May we swear by saints or by other creatures? And it's so easy when you're studying the Word to just take a text and sweep it aside because you don't think it applies. It's sometimes so easy to take a Lord's Day answer and just take a hand and sweep it aside as if it doesn't apply. But have you heard anybody swearing by saints or other creatures lately? Ancient Romans did by their gods. Ancient Greeks did. Ancient Jews did. Middle Ages did. Modern Americans. When's the last time you've heard somebody call Hannah holy? Or Moses holy? Or Judas a priest? When's the last time you heard someone use the expression by George? Or for Pete's sakes? When Pete, of course, refers to Saint Peter. And George refers to not the man who used to be in the White House, though the expression was around in those 8 years. Who does it refer to? Oh, there was a Christian in the year 303 A.D. who was martyred. And the myth with his life just kind of grew and grew and grew. And someone even said that as St. George, he slayed a dragon in order to free a maiden, the daughter of a king. All symbolic, of course, in terms of the church being the maiden and the king being God. And St. George comes into the picture, and the Council of Oxford, functioning as a synod for the Church of England, year 1222, decided that April the 23rd should be St. George's Day. And ever since, almost 800 years, that expression, by George, is in the conversation. Where does that kind of stuff come from? Or how many by creatures have you heard calling cows holy, or mackerels holy, or catfish holy, or dogs gone? Don't go there, the Lord says. And the Lord's Day, don't go there. And the text says, don't go there. Anything more than that comes from the evil one. So you're supposed to honor the Lord with your speech, and you're supposed to honor him with your vows, your oaths. Back to question 101. May we swear an oath in God's name if we do it reverently? And then that answer comes through. This is like the fine print for these both of these Lord's Days. The answer comes back, yes, we may do it when the government demands it or when necessity requires it in order to maintain the promote truth and trustworthiness for God's glory and for our neighbor's good. On occasion, you may have to. But only let it be on the occasion. And on occasion, you might feel compelled to. Like when your back is against the wall and you don't know where to turn. Like when the soldier is in the battle and the thick of the fire is every which where, that he might utter a vow in distress. Lord, if you get me through this situation, and if you bring me home, and if you bring me to my family, I will read your word every day, and I will pray to you every day, and I will try my absolute best to serve you every day. And we sang of that in that first song. We come with offerings to your house, and here we pay our solemn vows we uttered in distress. You've been there. I've been there. In the pressure of the moment, under the stress of it all, you utter a promise to the Lord, and the Lord brings you through. But then the Lord wants you to remember that. So Jacob, as he's fleeing from his dad after he deceived his dad, as he's fleeing from his brother because his brother Esau wanted to kill him, he's on the way to Paddan Aram. He's just trying to get out of the hot seat for a while, and he's sleeping with a rock for his pillow, and he has this dream of the ladder all the way to heaven, angels going up, angels coming down, and in the morning he makes this promise to the Lord. Lord, if you bring me back to my family, if you bring me back to my family, I will build an altar in this place, and I will call this the house of God. 20 years later, he comes back. The Lord kept his part of the bargain. The Lord kept his part of the deal. And Jacob meanders from Succoth to another place, to another place. I think there was another place yet. And finally, the Lord has to tap him on the shoulder and say, da-da-da, remember that vow you made? You go back to Bethel and you fulfill that vow. And finally, he did. What kind of vows do you make? First and most important vow of your life. You've heard me say it a number of times. Profession of faith vow. It is a vow for time and for eternity. And when the books are opened before the court of heaven and that vow is revealed that you promise to be a faithful servant of your Lord till your dying breath, you will be so delighted with that vow. Second vow. If the Lord gives you the opportunity, the vow of getting married. Remember, when a couple gets married up front, they're not just saying sweet promises to each other with weepy, dreary, dreamy eyes. They're saying a vow to the Lord for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health. And there's no fine print in that vow that if she turns up being witchy and hard to live with, then you've got an out. Or if he turns up being incorrigible, and I could add all kinds of adjectives, but don't let me do that. Might get too embarrassing, striking too close to home. There's no fine print in that. A vow's a vow. That's simple enough. And if the Lord gives you a child and you haven't baptized, what's part of the vow? To do to the utmost of your power to bring that one up in the fear and the admonition of the Lord, to let them walk, to teach them how to walk in the footsteps of Jesus until the end of their life or until the end of yours, whichever comes first. Oh, there's a vow also if you're in military service. There's a vow also if you go to court. When they make you stand on the stand and raise your right hand, and then you've got to answer. If you will tell the truth, all the truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God. Oh, wait a minute. Many court jurisdiction time places across this nation have struck out those last words, so help you God. But you and I know they're still before God. So when the Lord searches your life, what does he see? Or broken promises or completed ones? When your Lord hears, what does he hear? If some agents of a detective company should bug your home with little microphones so small, they're as small as the tip of your pen, or little cameras embedded into the woodwork of your home, small as little dots on the wood. And if those cameras would record absolutely everything, what would all they see in the course of the week? From the shout to the whisper. What would they record? It's almost embarrassing what other people know when we don't think they're listening. About 3 years ago, I was sitting in my study and I was working on some work, and the phone rang. Picked up the phone and I said, "Hello?" No answer. And I was about ready to shut it, put it back down again, and I was hearing something. That was like a repeated rhythm. Something was going on in the other end of the phone. And it was a sound similar to this. What is that? What is that? And I listened closer. And as I listened closer, I thought, there's another rhythm underneath that rhythm. And I listened closer, and it was a human heartbeat. And then I started to get worried. I was wondering about our old timers. Has one of the old timers had a stroke? They fell over and they can't get a hold of me and they can't talk. And I was wondering, did someone try to dial 911 and they got my number instead? So I said louder, "Hello," and louder, "Hello," and louder, "Hello," and I listened. That went on for about 3 minutes until I'm almost shouting in the phone, and I knew that somebody was at the other end, and I was starting to think all these dreams of what disaster could happen when somebody's trying to get help and they can't get help. And lo and behold, a woman from this church family had 2 weeks earlier. I did check. She's not here tonight. She's in her young 40s, and 2 weeks earlier she'd given me a phone call on that cell phone. And she was simply walking down the street, and that cell phone was in her jacket. And I was hearing the jacket and the throb of her heart. When she finally answered the phone, she had no idea how that happened. I had no idea, but I was thinking of God, listening all the time, even to my heartbeat and to my words. But think of one more, please. When Jesus was in front of Caiaphas, and in that courtyard, he was asked question after question after question, and he gave no answer. And finally, Caiaphas the high priest is so frustrated, he put it into form of an oath. Matthew 26, verse 63. I adjure you, by the living God, tell us if you are the Christ, the Son of God. I adjure you, I put you under oath. Tell us. And Jesus said, two words. I am. The courtyard went crazy as they demanded his crucifixion for blasphemy. But you know that when Christ hung on the cross of Calvary, he was innocent. But he was crucified for blasphemy. And for your broken promises and mine. And for your bad words and mine. And he paid the penalty in order that you and I might have his forgiveness. For God cannot forget, but he certainly does forgive for those who are his children in Christ. And therefore, you and I want every motive and every word to glorify him. Let's pray. Lord, our God and King, lead us by your hand, lead us forward, lead us onward, and grant that our speech, our behavior, and our conduct might perfectly, wonderfully glorify you. Where we fail, please forgive us in the blood of Christ. Where we stumble, please help us onward. And grant, Lord, that in Christian integrity, we might honor you with our speech and with our vows. In Christ's name, amen.